Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad you have found your way to this worshiping community. There is a bulletin in front of you that is full of announcements and a calendar. And also, please pay special attention to those. We've cut some of our announcements this morning in order to accommodate for all of the wonderful celebrations we've got going on in worship this morning. Also, just a note that we're going to incorporate the prayers of the people into the communion prayers, so we won't be asking for individual prayers. If you have any, please see me after worship, and I'm happy to hold those this week. And so I know everyone is very excited to also be honoring Bob and Carol Ann today. There will also be a reception following worship down in Fellowship Hall, and we do have some tables and chairs set up for folks so that you all can visit a little longer. And we are also kicking off this Sunday, like I said, a lot going on, Stewardship Month. Rather than just focusing on just one Sunday, we are going to take the whole entire month to celebrate different aspects of stewardship. Next Sunday will be the Sunday that we will receive the pledge cards, so please, please, please remember to bring yours. If you forget, we always keep them out in the rack, out in the hallway. And also, part of our stewardship month, we are reflecting how it is that we give our time, our energy, and our gifts back to God through the life of the church. Chris Oman's going to share a little bit with us, and we're going to spend a few minutes with learning about elders, trustees, and deacons.
Good morning. I am Chris Oman, and I am the chairperson of this year's nominating committee. The videos you've been seeing on Facebook and in worship have come out of our team, and we are grateful to the trustees and elders who agreed to share their thoughts and experiences on camera. Not only have we learned more about what trustees and elders do, but we have heard some very sincere expressions of faith and commitment. Today we thank Jason Taylor for his time.
I come on my knees to lay down before you, bringing all that I am, longing only to know you.
I felt it was I wanted to do something more with the church, and that trustees is a good start. It's not a huge commitment, but also a commitment where I am able to do my part for the church. Plus, I like working with my hands, and trustees kind of help take care of the buildings and grounds and that kind of thing. That was the main reason. Not at all, I don't think. I think it's just more organizing skills, I think, to help get people to help do those things. It does help, obviously, with being able to fix things around the church, but we do a lot of other things with scheduling, you know, different groups that use the church and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of other things that a trustee can do without having to plumb some pipes or fix the roof or whatever. Anyone can serve. The more people that we have serve, the better. You know, to help out the church and get things running properly, especially in the winter times. It seemed that we need a lot more help in the winter times. We're just keeping things up and going. a lot more things seem to break in the winter than summers. So we're always looking. Anyone can paint, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, even lawn mowing, I mean, that's a huge thing. So you don't even need to mow the lawns. You can just, it's organizing everyone to mow the lawns is a big part, too. So I think the fall and spring cleanups are great. I love seeing all the different people and the kids come out and get together and clean up the church and do little projects that we need done where you need a lot of hands to kind of help. So that's one of my favorite things to do as a trustee. Yeah, it was cool this year. We did a scrap metal drive, kind of to try and save up money for a new tractor since our lawnmowers are slowly deteriorating. So, and it was really cool to see the amount of people that came out and donated. I wasn't expecting half the stuff we got, so it was pretty cool. It's definitely more rewarding than I expected it. You know, I thought it was more work, but it's been really enjoyable. I like it a lot. So I'll probably sign on as another term after my 3 years are done.
Seeking your face, but not only your hand. I find you embracing me just as I am.
And thanks to the nominating committee for putting those great videos together. So a few more announcements before we begin worship. Junior High Sunday School, your Sunday school teacher is sick, so you all will not be meeting today, so no Junior High Sunday School. And on Tuesday, you all are invited here into the sanctuary at 7 o'clock, where session members will be presenting more about the governance structure of the church. If you happen to be part of a committee, you will be meeting after that presentation, but the time is open for everyone, so please come learn about the exciting things going on. And also, this being All Saints Sunday, you will notice in your bulletin a special emphasis on opportunities to give toward our wonderful memorial garden. Please take a look at those. And if weather permits, you're also invited to step out and see the new bricks that have been placed and to enjoy that worshipful space. Final announcement I have this morning is on November 15th, we will have an amazing opportunity to worship with the Reverend Kimberly Hines, who is the pastor of the Negril Charges of the Churches in Jamaica, our mission partners. She will be leading worship, and we will also be hosting a Jamaican luncheon for her on that Sunday at 3 o'clock. But if you want to eat Velta's amazing food, you have to RSVP to the office by this Friday. So make sure you send an email or give us a call and let us know that you are coming. And now, friends, let us join our hearts, our minds, our entire selves into a time of worship. please stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship. We gather this All Saints Sunday,
celebrating the love of God and the love of ordinary people,
in the spirit of Ruth and Naomi, the church is bound.
As one body in the love of God, the neighbor and himself.
Where you go,
I will go.
Your people
shall be my people.
Praise God, who is God of us all.
Would you join me, please, in the prayer of confession found in the bulletin? How often, O Lord, life does not go as planned, and we feel utterly alone. We turn away from opportunities to abide in your promises to always love us. We shun the cries of those in need, believing we could not possibly make a difference. We push away simple acts of kindness, believing we need to make it on our own. Lord, help us cling to your promises to never leave us. Empower us to give and receive the love your people are around us. Now let's all take a few moments for silent prayers of confession. God will not leave us. God who forgives us, frees us, and gives us peace. Thanks be to God.
At this time, I'd like to invite the children to come forward. I'm going to have you sit here today. Evelyn, you didn't have to go far, I know. I'm going to sit in this front pew. Hi, friends. You guys sit in this front All right, can we scrunch together? We can't leave anybody out. There we go. Brother love, that works. Hi, friends. So the reason that I'm going to have you all sit up here in this front pew with me is because I want to make sure that you have a front row seat. We're actually yes, thank you, Will, enthusiasm. We are going to move part of worship up because I want all of you to be able to be part of what we are going to do. So tell me what was yesterday. What was yesterday? Just all tell me. Halloween! Yay! Did you get to dress up in costumes? Yes. Excellent. Did you get lots of candy? Lots of candy? Good, good, good. So awesome. So today, the day after Halloween is called All Saints Sunday. And today's the day that we get to celebrate the people in our lives who have taught us all about God's love. And we are celebrating two very special today. And those are two of our former pastors. One who I think a lot of you will probably remember, who's sitting over there, Carol Ann. Yes, wasn't that long ago. And also Bob Kaiser, who he may have baptized and married your parents, maybe even some of your grandparents. I know. Awesome. Part of celebrating the saints is celebrating all of the ways that we are connected together and have shared God's love. So, will you guys with me here? Yes? Okay. We'll be good here? Excellent. So I'll let you know when you can go to Sunday school, but right now I'm going to invite my friend Tom Ward, yes, the candy man, who's going to come up, and he is also a member of Session, and he is going to introduce a little bit about what we're doing today, okay? Okay.
I know Bob's afraid that I'm going to say something. When he retired Peter Derry and I gave him a roast that he still is hurting from. So I promised Melissa I'd stick to the script. Gates Presbyterian Church, we'd like to honor the Reverend Bob Kaiser and the Reverend Carol Ann Strawbridge today for their many years of service here. They have been distinguished leaders and faithful servants and shepherds of our congregation, and it's grown in our faith in Jesus Christ and has dramatically increased our mission and outreach because of their challenging ministry. The life of our church is richer and fuller because we have had them living and working among us. On May 28, 2015, the session voted unanimously. The congregation subsequently voted, and the Presbytery of Genesee Valley, at their meeting in September, agreed to honor them with the title of Pastor Emeritus and Pastor Emerita.
So at this time, I'd like to invite Bob and Carol Ann to come forward, please. You can bring the baby. It's all good. We'll have you guys stand right there so everybody can see you. Turn around so they all can see you. I mean, as fun as it is to look at me, it's more fun to look at all of them. How about I do this? Reverend Bob Kaiser and the Reverend Carol Ann Strawbridge, do you now accept this recognition to which you have been elected by the session and the congregation of Gates Presbyterian Church? And will you now receive this honorary title of Pastor Emeritus and Pastor Emerita? Do you? And do we, the members and friends of Gates Presbyterian Church, rejoice in their acceptance of this title, Pastor Emeritus and Pastor Emerita, and pledge to them our continuing love, our constant care, and our sustaining prayers through all the days before us. Do we? Amen.
Sneaking up behind you, you better turn around. The conferring of this honor on you is a way of recognizing your distinguished service and also saying, we love you. You are indeed our beloved former pastors. The recognition carries with it no professional responsibilities, and nothing to be required of you or expected of you by virtue of this honor. Rather, it is a visible and symbolic way of declaring to you and to the community and the denomination this church's esteem and honor.
Thank you. I would love if you both would just say a few words with the congregation.
Well, with all those marriages and baptisms, I'm surprised I can even make it up here, but I'm very glad to be here at this time. I thank you very much for this honor. Just a couple of thoughts about the congregation. I always said that this is a congregation made up of engineering types. You show them a challenge, and they really will get ahead of that. And I really appreciated all you've done down through the years to respond to the good news of Christ. Another thing that meant a lot to me was sabbatical that led me to Meryl and I and our family to be in Mexico for 3 months, and that led to a lot of wonderful Latin American work projects, and some of you have been on those, and they've been a remarkable experiences, I think. Also, working with the youth was a great privilege, and I had a wonderful people to work with, beginning with Lorraine Zimmerman and Morris Stone, Carol Ann and Julie Fuster, and Vicky and Kay, so I was really fortunate that way. But I'd like to say the one thing that impressed me most about this congregation was that we didn't always agree. I'm sure you remember that. With Ruth Lubansky, some of our family went down to an anti-nuclear protest with millions of people down in Central Park. I'm not sure all of you are happy with that. Marilyn and I and Julie Fuster would protest about the Iraq War, and I know some of you weren't too happy about that. But the remarkable thing about this congregation is that we always stayed together. You know, we didn't always agree, but in the name of Jesus Christ, we said, if this is the gospel, then whatever your opinion is, we appreciate that, and we're going to work together. And so that's why I cherish this congregation, and I thank you very much.
Thank you. This is indeed a great honor. I've missed you a lot. I love you a lot. But I've had a lot of joy over the last year, and the primary joy would be this little guy. So I'd like for you to meet Austin Christopher Trotto. He's perfect, in case you're And I wanted you to know, at least Erica wanted you to know, that they are leaving after the last hymn because Grandma is germophobic and didn't want to pass him around like I knew that he'd want to be. So, but anyway, I did want you to see him. So thank you so much for this wonderful day.
All right, germophobic grandma, you might want to hand him to mom. And I'm going to have Bob and Carol Ann come stand over here. And we are going to also celebrate this moment with something that I know is very special in the life of this congregation. When we ordain new officers, the congregation joins together to lay on of hands. And really, this is a reaffirmation of baptism and ordination as we celebrate this new chapter with Bob and Carol Ann. And so in the best decently and in order way, we are going to kind of scoot to the ends of our pews, and we're going to lay on hands with Bob and Carol Ann. So if you all would get up, and however you're most comfortable, and come and lay hands on them. And you all, it doesn't matter, ordained or not, I want everybody. And kids, if you want to find mom and dad, whatever you want to do, whatever makes you comfortable, okay? And so if you can't get close enough to Carol Ann and Bob, what we do is we lay hands on each other's shoulders. So find a shoulder okay? Nobody's got cooties. We're good. And this is what connects us together, and we are reminded of our connection with God and one another. I think everyone's got a shoulder. Let us pray together. Almighty God, who governs all things in heaven, movement of commitment and praise, we give you heartfelt thanks for the long and fruitful ministry of servants Bob and Carol Ann, for the lessons we have learned from their faithful obedience to your will and way, for the caring and sharing, the living and loving by which they have enriched so many lives over the years. We are most grateful. Continue to bless, we pray, Bob and Carol Ann, as they continue in their retirement. Amen. Amen. So you can share signs of Christ's peace and return to your seats. Kids, you are welcome to head to Sunday school, okay? You'll get in a fight with someone. Happy birthday. That is old. That is old. How'd you guys get so old? I don't know. Gotta stop doing that, though. Happy birthday. I'm glad you're here today. Makes it so good.
You want to survive me?
Oh, you enjoyed surviving me.
Word from our Holy Bible this morning is from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ruth. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. The name of his two sons were Malchon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and without her husband. Then she started to return with her daughter-in-laws from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughter-in-laws, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." And then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return to you with your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than you, because of the hand of the Lord has turned against me." And they wept aloud. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people, to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me and more as well, if even death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. A few weeks ago, I officiated at my sister-in-law's wedding in Michigan. And that was the text they had chosen for the ceremony. Of course, they chose those words from Scripture because of the beautifully poetic vows that Ruth makes with her mother-in-law, Naomi. The couple was eager to hear the echoes of God's promises of faithfulness reflected in these ancient words and in the vows they were making to one another. The text is often used by couples for wedding ceremonies. And each time the text gets chosen, I do the same thing. I sit down to write the sermon. I read over the story again. I consult the biblical commentaries. And I remember what the story is actually about. And then I drop my head into my palm and wonder why I let myself get so caught up in sharing in the excitement of celebrating a new couple's love that I forgot once again what the story is actually about. Ruth is the woman for whom the book is named, but when we get started in those first verses in the chapter, the story begins with her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi and her husband find themselves in this horrendous situation of famine in their hometown of Bethlehem. And they have to pack up their home and their children and find relief in a place they never imagined they would live, Moab. Difficulty strikes Naomi's life again when her husband dies. And some years have passed, and I can just imagine Naomi just beginning to put the pieces of her life back together. When her sons marry, Orpah and Ruth, she's probably hoping now for some retirement, right? Slow down a bit. Maybe enjoy a few grandchildren. And the unthinkable happens. Her sons die. And so Naomi does what a lot of people do in the midst of horrendously horrible, grief-stricken times. She turns to her family, to her community, her land, and her God, and she sets back out to Bethlehem. Now her daughter-in-laws are so blinded by their own grief, they cling to Naomi. Naomi only wants what's best for them as she tries to send them back to their own people in Moab. And Orpah knows this. But Ruth, he perceives the situation a bit differently. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. So in writing that sermon, I thought for just a moment that maybe I could get away with it because, you know, it was family. And so, you know, they would understand if I provided a bit of background to the story. And I sent the sermon to a good friend of mine, and she calls me immediately and says, Melissa, I don't care if it's your sister-in-law. You cannot preach that at a wedding. And of course, she continued, the only thing worse than preaching about famine, a dead husband, and sons at your sister-in-law's wedding would be to crack jokes about your mother-in-law. Crossed my mind, but you know, I would never do such a thing. Just like I would never really preach that sermon at a wedding. Because that sermon is for a day like today, when we're honoring All Saints Sunday and beginning a month-long focus of what it means to continue our stewardship commitments in the life of this community. In so many of our relationships, whether they are family or friends or in the life of this church, there are always those wonderful, happy ever after moments. Those moments of hope and excitement and new possibilities. And then life happens. Sometimes those relationships end. But there is something about the people who stick with us no matter what. And that's what Ruth does with Naomi. She hangs on tight. The word that is used here in Scripture is clings. Ruth clings to Naomi, and it reminds me of the women on Easter as they go to the tomb. In all of their distraught, overwhelming grief, they hang on so tightly, they cling to Jesus' feet. And it's in that moment that there's an inbreaking of God's presence. When we hold on tightly to faithful relationships in the midst of struggle and grief and lack of answers in the midst of life's toughest situations, we would never wish those on anyone, let alone newly married couples. But we all know they happen. And in those moments, we discover that God is so intimately involved in our relationships, and we experience again God's covenant commitment to each and every one of us. Our willingness to enter into those kinds of relationships. I know it sounds strange, it's a little outside of what you're used to. But that is stewardship. It is the giving and receiving of life to another in the ways that God gives. And so for a moment, I would invite you to bring to mind one person that you've experienced that kind of relationship with. It might be a parent, a spouse, a friend, person in your church family, or it might be one of the pastors who we celebrated this morning. Saints are not only those who have died, they are also the people in our lives who are brave enough to let us cling to them when we need the assurance of God's love in our lives. So who is that person? We give thanks to God for them and to Ruth, who showed us how to hang on so tightly. May we experience the love of God made visible in the relationship that you recalled to memory, or the so many others that you just know you can't let go. And as we give thanks for those relationships, may we share that love with others, now and always. Thanks be to God. The invitation is simple. Come and eat the feast. Not a meal to nourish the body, but to feed the soul. We receive the bread and the wine connected to the ages, to the saint of old who felt unworthy, to the seeker eager to know God, to the teenager who wonders what it's all about, and to the child who eats with unburdened faith. Woven into this time, the hopes and fears of generations. There is great joy here. No one is turned away, for God is the host of this meal. Our Savior indeed invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. According to the Gospel of Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it. He broke it and he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. In ancient days, you created us in your image, inviting us to live as your people upon this earth. Instead, we fell short of what you created us to be and went as far away as we could. Despite the generations of the saints who invited us back, we shunned their welcome. So you sent your Son, Jesus, be the guest of sinners in every time and place, that we might receive the gift of salvation.
We give thanks for this time of celebration, for the one this meal remembers, for the life, ministry, and death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. with those who have gone before us, whose hands touched the bread, whose lips embraced the cup. We worship you. We glorify you, O God. And we remember those who have died in this past year. We celebrate their lives even as we continue to grieve. We remember this morning Ralph O'Keefe. Edward Sclair. Joyce Kern. Antoinette Sachs. Andrew Shields. Ruth Caldwell. John McMahon. Take a moment to remember a name that comes to each of our hearts. So with the reformers and saints who have gone before us, the friends and neighbors sitting around us, we lift our songs of praise to you. Holy,
holy, holy, God of justice and righteousness, all creation keeps watch for your justice. Blessed is the one who comes to call us home. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, God, and blessed is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our life. Glorified as your Son, Jesus came to show us hospitality to all who go unseen in this world. He sought the lost and proclaimed salvation to the least likely recipients. As we remember his life, his teachings, his words, as we celebrate the good news of his resurrection, we speak of our faith, which often seems a mystery.
Christ died, faithful to the end. Christ is risen. Your righteousness come true. Christ will return.
Send your Holy Spirit upon the bread and the cup, simple gifts from creation, which grace us with your life, and upon those who gather around your table. Fed with the finest wheat, may we go forth to fill the lives of all whose emptiness imprisons them. Having tasted the cup of joy, may we bring the sweet honey of hope to those parched by despair. Welcomed without question at your table of grace, may we open our hearts to all who have been forsaken by the world. Through Christ, glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life. With the Holy Spirit and your holy people, on this first day of the week and in all the days to come.
On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for each and every one of you."
And in the same way, he took the wine, and he poured it in the cup.
Thank you. broken for each of us, taste the goodness of God's grace.
Thank you.
Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Drink, remembering me.
Let us pray. Generous God, we rejoice in the gifts of grace and faithfulness you offer us in this sacred meal. May we in turn open our lives to bearers of the good news, where we may journey and with whomever we may meet. In the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And at this time, let us bring with joy and thanksgiving our gifts to God as we celebrate the morning offering.
Accept these gifts, O Lord, and may they be like Reverend Kaiser and Reverend Strawbridge, making a difference to the person next to us, to the person down the street, and to people throughout your kingdom. Amen.
in case you haven't noticed, my germs is what Carol Ann is afraid of. So I am not going to shake hands at the doors. I would invite you all to head down for the reception in just a few moments and greet Bob and Carol Ann there. And go out into this world indeed to serve as disciples and saints, filled with the grace and peace and justice of Christ our Lord and the courage of the Holy Spirit that gets us up every day. Alleluia. Amen.